Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. I want to look at this thought tonight. The yes in God's no. That's what's on my heart. I didn't know some of the news that we were going to receive when we got to the house of God this evening, but the Lord knows all about it. And oftentimes when we study and we think about prayer and when we seek God's face, He may say yes to us. A definite yes. And then there are times that God says, I'm going to delay you. I'm going to tell you to wait for right now. And then there are times when God says, I'm going to deny you your request. And we sure don't like to hear the denial that God gives us. In fact, there was a woman one time, she was concerned about her husband's hearing. And she tried to get him to go to the doctor, but he was very stubborn. And he said, I'm not going to see no doctor because I don't have no problem. So you get off of my case. So she went to the hospital, to the doctor in his place. And she said, my husband seems to have a bad problem with his hearing, but he won't come to see you. Can you help me diagnose his problem? The doctor said, well, get him in the long hallway and test his hearing. Stand, how long's your hallway? 25 feet, 30 feet? She said, about that. He said, stand from one end to the other and then talk to him and then get closer to him and report back to me how close he gets before he hears you. She said, that's a great idea. They got in the hallway and she said, Herbert, what do you want for breakfast? No reply. She got 5 feet closer. Herbert, what do you want for breakfast? No reply. She got 10 feet closer. Herbert, I said, what do you want for breakfast? He said, Margaret, for the third time, I said I want bacon and eggs. You see, it wasn't Herbert that was having the problem hearing. It was Margaret. And oftentimes, we think that God's not hearing our prayers. God won't hear my prayers. God, what? Are you not listening? And God has given us an answer. We just don't want to receive the answer God has for us. Let's not forget that no is still an answer. And there are occurrences all over the Bible where God has said no. May I give you one more in my own personal life? My great-grandfather Gillespie, he had 5 boys and a girl. One boy died when he was 16. The other 4 boys went off to war. Grandpa would go and pray 3 times a day, evening, morning, and at noon. He would pray over his boys. God, bring my boys home. And God brought all 4 of those boys home, some of them with bullet holes through their uniforms. But God brought those boys home. And he said, God, would you make one of my boys a preacher boy before I die? And Grandpa died. Great-grandpa Gillespie died in 1974. And he said on his dying bed, I don't understand it, why God never answered my prayer. He answered all my other prayers, but he never answered my prayer that God would call one of my boys to preach. But not one of those boys was called to preach. But God had said no to that request. But my grandfather, he had a daughter whose name was Edna. Turns out that her boy, whose name is Roy, the grandson, surrendered to preach. Then his son, Darren, surrendered to preach. And then his son, Luke, surrendered to preach. And Grandpa got free. He said, no, not one of your boys, but your grandchildren is where I'm going to call them to preach. You see, God had said no, but you and I need to learn to find the yes in God's no. Amen. It is there if we will look for it. I want us to read then out of 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Number 1, I want us to see the request of God. Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. What is King David's request? Lord, I want to build you a house. When did he pray this? Do you know when you and I do our best praying? It's when we're in trouble. when we've had problems, when we've had issues. But 2 Samuel chapter 7 right here, as he seeks advice and counsel from David, he's already been praying this prayer and now from Nathan, and now he's going to the man of God to seek counsel about it, okay? And it's a time of peace. Look, he's sitting in his own house. He's got rest round about. It's a time of prosperity. There's no more wars. Everything that's going on right now is a blessing. Now, I understand people calling on the Lord when their world is falling apart. But when everything's going good, you need to be praying then too. You need to be praying, praying, praying. Men ought always to pray. Israel has defeated the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant has come back to Jerusalem. God has promised to meet with his people at the presence of the Ark right there. But now David says, Lord, I'm not asking for a new addition to the palace. Lord, I'm not asking you to send us more troops and enforcements. God, I'm not asking you for riches or for gold. I'm not praying selfishly. I'm not praying foolishly. I'm not praying carelessly. I'm praying responsibly. I'm praying in righteousness. Lord, I'm asking you to do something. Here's what he's saying. Lord, I'm putting your interest above my interest. And Lord, I'm not just satisfied that the ark is at Jerusalem. I believe there ought to be a house, a temple, dedicated just for the glory of God. Thank God for that. He felt that the things of God ought to be more highly honored than the things of this world. That's his request. You see, he's got a heart for the things of God. When you pray, are you praying about your own interest, or are you praying about the interest of the kingdom of God? That's his request. You would think that as he's prayed this, these are all the right reasons to pray. It's definitely the right prayer request to ask for. But number two, look at the refusal. God gives him a refusal. The king, or Nathan said to the king, go and do all that's in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. All right, that sounds good. We're going to break ground. Verse 4, it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Now, can I read another parallel passage in 1 Chronicles chapter number 17? Would you turn there? 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and we're coming back. Don't lose where you are. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. We'll pick it up in verse number 2. You'll see the parallel passage, 1 Chronicles 17, verse 2. Nathan said unto David, do all that's in thine heart, for God is with thee. The man of God, Nathan, when he gets the request that David's been praying, the man of God says, that's a good request. That's you've got all the right reasons to do it. You go and do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Did the man of God seek the Lord's face? No, he did not. He just believed that, hey, this is the right thing to do. This will be great. Verse 3, it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt, what? Not build me an house to dwell in. You're not, I'm saying no. You want to build me a house? I'm telling you no. Let's go back to our text. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Thus saith the Lord, verse 5, shalt thou build me a house to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. So God has said no to his request. If I wanted a house, God said, I could have done it a long time ago. But that is not what I wanted to do. So think about it. There are many reasons tonight when we pray that God might give us a refusal, that God might say no to our request. When there's sin in our life, he's not even going to hear our prayer. When we're unfaithful, when we've got unforgiveness and hardship and grievances one with another, God's not even going to hear our prayer, right? So think about it now. Why do you think God has told David No. Now ponder that. Well, Preacher Darren, it's because he's committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have you got your Bible? Turn over to chapter 11. There's the adultery chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's not even happened yet. So that's not what hindered his prayer life. You see that? I'm pretty sure that 2 Samuel 7 comes before 2 Samuel 11. He's praying a prayer that is a bona fide, genuine, good reason to pray, and God has told him no. Have you ever been told no by the Lord? Two people. I'll say me. That's three people. Anybody else? The hands are going up. God's told me no. And when I got a no, I was surely disappointed. When I got a no, I was certainly discouraged. When I got a no, I was distressed. When I got a no, I felt like I was a failure. Started looking in my life. Where's the sin, Lord? I'll confess it. I really want this prayer request answered. I'll do anything. Right? We get there. Look at our text. Verse 7. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? He said, when did I ever ask you to build me a house? I've walked with you in the tents. I've walked with you at the ark. I mean, I've never asked you to do anything like this for me. David, I don't want you to do this. But now David's disappointed. David's discouraged. David is downtrodden. David's defeated because his prayer request, the desire of his heart, I'm going to get tore up. The desire of his heart was not met. Don't you know that our sister has prayed about her daughter being healed, that God would touch her and heal her upon, but God said, not here. But there's a yes in God's no, because he gave her a different kind of healing that we prayed for. Do you see that? Now, God, who's just told David no, is going to try to encourage David in verse 8. He says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. What about that? God said, I may have told you no, but don't forget, when you was a lowly shepherd boy, I was with you. I delivered you from a lion. I delivered you from a bear. And I raised you up to be the king over all the people of Israel. And I've been with you everywhere you have gone. Don't be disappointed and discouraged and defeated because I told you no. Know that I've been with you and I've been for you every step of the way. And I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. In other words, I've destroyed every giant. When old Goliath came against you, I directed the stone. I have defeated every Philistine, every Assyrian army that came against you. I took them down because I am your God and I've been with you. Don't forget when I've told you no about how good I've been to you along the way. Keep reading. And have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. He said, I've given you one of the greatest reputations of all people that's ever lived. David, king of Israel, a lowly shepherd boy. I have blessed you mightily. Verse 11, moreover. In other words, if that's not enough, look how much more. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Here you are tonight. You've gotten to know something's about made you bitter. You don't understand why did God do this to me. I mean, I've got good reasons, good intentions. This is for the glory of God. I can't believe I was denied. You're discouraged. You're defeated. You're downtrodden. You can't get past it. But don't forget, he saved you when nobody else could. Don't forget, he loves you when nobody else would. Don't forget, he's given you a home in heaven. Don't forget that he's with you even tonight, friends. And he said, if that's not enough, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. Here's what he said. I'm going to give them peace. I'm going to bless them. And as such, the time that I command judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. Woo! He said, here's what I'm going to do. If that's not enough how I've blessed you, I'm going to give you a house. I'm going to do a work for you. I'm going to build you something that is going to be permanent, not temporary. Oh my, what a blessing. Here's what he's learning, that he serves a big God. David is learning that, listen, it's not as near important what we do for God as what God does for us. Amen. What little I do for God, it's not a whole lot, but what has he done for me is more than you and I will ever accomplish for him. He's learning that God is more important to him than anything else. And here's what we got to know. Prayer is not me getting my will done in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done on earth. Amen. May we learn the lessons of no. We think when we pray, God said no, but I'm going to pray about it. And when I pray, I'm going to change the mind of God. Really? You see, the object of prayer here is that you would receive the mind of God. But I want to change his will. I want to change his mind. Now think with me for a second. You and I are on the ship of life and we're sailing along. And we see the shore and we think, boy, that's a good place for me to land. And you throw out the anchor, you throw out the boat hook, and you start to pull the rope. Do you pull the shore to you? Or when you pull, does it pull you to the shore? You're not going to pray and change the mind of God. When you pray, you need to receive the mind of God. The peace of God and the help of God. Well, we talked a minute ago. Why, Lord, is David being told no? Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Let's just read a little bit here. I want to look in verse number 7. Number 3, what is the reason given by God that David is not going to be able to build the house of God? What is the reason behind it? He's not yet committed adultery with Bathsheba. He has not yet murdered her husband. But why is God telling David no? Verse number 7. David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. God's saying, I'm telling you, you can't do this because I don't want my house, if one's going to be built, it's not going to be built on military conquest. It's not going to be built on personal achievement. Some of you think, well, if I could just conquer this and I could get over that, and if I could just achieve this, listen, the house of God is a symbol of the peace of God. That's what we've got to get. So God said no. God said no to David's petition that he might say yes to God's plan, God's purpose, and God's pleasure. Now, go back to our text. What is God's plan and God's pleasure? God said, David, you want to build me a house? That's good. I like it, but I'm not going to let you do it. But I'm going to do better. I'm going to build you a house. Oh, boy. Let's keep reading. When thy days, verse 12 of 2 Samuel 7, when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, God said, I'm going to build you a house. Then he said, I'm going to establish your kingdom. Do you see what God's building with? God's construction is not just a house, but a kingdom. Amen. Well, read on. Look at verse 13. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He's went from a house to a kingdom to a throne. Amen. And I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy, thank God for that, shall not depart from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne, there it is again, shall be established forever, all according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So we know God has told David no. And when God tells you no, it's because he has a greater yes. There is a yes in God's no. Listen, when Solomon built the temple, the house of God, we'll talk about that this morning in a minute. But one day, Babylon, under King Nebuchadnezzar, would come in and they would destroy the temple. The house of God that David desired to build, that God allowed Solomon to build, would one day be laid to waste, to ruins, to pebbles. You see, the conquest, the achievements, the buildings of man, destroyed. But when God built David a house, he gave him Solomon, amen, to sit on his throne. But the Bible says, in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse number 1, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hey, through David, he brought the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. God built him a house that was permanent, lasting forever. Number 4, and I'm done. So when David gets this news, this response of no, when David, when he begins to get the reasons as to why, what is his, number 4, what is his response? Look at verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Look at verse number 20. "What can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant." He's accepting the disappointment of God's no, and he's humbly gracious that God's establishing him a house, a kingdom, and a throne forever. Verse 27, "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God. Thy words be true. Thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever." This is what I learned. My disappointments are God's appointments. Amen. You see, David began to make preparations. He knew he wouldn't be allowed to build the house of God, so he went out and purchased the threshing floor of Ornan that they might build the house of God on that place. He went and began to prepare all the materials. He got the lumber, the gold, the silver, all the things that would be used. He began just to establish all those things, all those materials, so they would be at Solomon's disposal. He gave 50, according to today's rates, over $50 million he gave, and that was not enough to build the house of God. For some of you cheapskates that say we overspend or overdo at the house of God, we think it's too ornate, it's too elaborate. Honey, you'd let it be at your house, amen. Amen. Wouldn't say a word about it. Amen. And I want you to know, David went out then throughout all of Israel and over all the Middle East and began to bring in all the items, raising all the capital it would take to build the house of God. And David, 1 Chronicles, look with me. 1 Chronicles, go to chapter 22. I'm almost done. 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. Let's read it. Verse number 7. I read it earlier, but I'll read it again. David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, It was in my mind to build a house in the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house under my name because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So he begins to encourage his son. Son, he told you, you would be allowed to build a house. Look at verse 14. Now, behold, in my trouble, right, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 100,000 talents of silver, so on and so on and so on. And we could read in other places of all the preparations and all the materials that David set up. Can I read one more text and I'll be done reading? In the book of 1 Kings, Solomon the king, Solomon, David's son, has been made king. He's going to build the house of God. And in 1 Kings chapter number 8, as Solomon has built the house of God and he has all the priests and all the singers as they come in, and the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, moved in that great place. The people could not even minister for the glory of God that had filled the house. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, you can read about that in verse number 11. Verse number 12, Solomon begins to speak, and I'm going to skip down to verse 18. Look at what it says. This is verse 17. Look at what it says. This is beautiful. It was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. You see that? David had a desire to build the house, but God had said no. Look at the next verse, verse 18. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well. Thou didst what? Thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Although, I have an announcement, although David was not allowed to build the house of God, God accepted his willingness to do so for the very deed itself. To God, it was just as if David had built the house. Read that verse again. Read it again. Thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Years ago, many years ago, I'm at Camp Zion. Man, I love Myrtle, Mississippi, Brother Percy Ray. He's up behind the pulpit. People have been lined up getting saved, and people are lined up testifying what God's done for them. And people, I mean, you got people pledging wedding rings, and all kinds of things are happening. And this man and this woman walks up, a precious couple, and they're just weeping. And they couldn't even hardly talk, and the preacher's standing to this side of the pulpit, and they're standing kind of in the middle. And they said, Brother Percy, I want you and some men of God, I want y'all to pray over us that we'll be able to adopt a baby. We have tried every way we know, medically, scientifically, to have a child, and we're not allowed to have one. And we're asking that you would pray that God would allow us to adopt a baby. We're in line to try to adopt a baby. We run into this difficulty, that problem. We just can never get it done. And we've always met with disappointment and brokenheartedness, and we're weeping and crying. Yeah, we'll get the foster child, and they'll take it away, and we get attached, and they take it away. And we're absolutely just heartbroken. Pray that God would allow us to adopt a baby. You know what the preacher said? I will not pray that prayer. It's pretty bad when you go to your pastor or the man of God, and you ask him to pray about something, and he looks at you and says, nope, I ain't praying for you about that prayer. Now imagine what you do. You were just told no that quick. No, I will not pray that prayer. I will not pray that you're able to adopt a baby. I'm going to pray that God gives you one of your own. And they thought, didn't you just hear us? We told you. We've prayed. We've had other people praying. We've been told no so many times. He prayed for them to have enough. Right there, he prayed. 1 year later, we're back at Camp Zion next year. All people are lined up testifying again. People getting saved, people praising God. And I look, here comes this couple up, holding a baby in their arms. And they walked up to the preacher, and she said, "Preacher, do you remember us? Do you remember how you prayed that we would have a baby of our own when it was impossible? You remember we asked you that we would be able to adopt a child, and you said, 'No, I won't pray for you to adopt a child. I'm going to pray that you have one of your own.' And we thought, this will never work. Though you prayed for us, we thought, this will never work. And yet, here we stand today. God has done the impossible." And Brother Percy, he just took off shouting. I've seen him. He just took his handkerchief and he just took off across the stage shouting. You know why? Because God's done it again. When we are told no, God has a yes in the middle of the no that we might be encouraged. Thank God for the times God didn't answer my prayer. Do you know how messed up I'd be? Honest. If God had said yes to all my prayer requests, do you know how messed up my world would be? But thank God he said no. And thank God he sent encouragement for me to receive and accept the no. I don't know if you remember this, but in Scotland there was the Clark family. And the Clark family had 9 children. And their dream was to save up enough money to get the paperwork to immigrate to the United States of America. And they saved the money. And they got the paper. And they got the tickets for the ship. They were going to leave just in like a week. And they were so excited. They were packing their stuff. And their youngest boy of the 9 children, screaming in the yard, gets up running in the house. He's been attacked by a dog viciously. The doctors come. They sew him back together. But the dog that bit him ran away. And they're going to quarantine him for 2 weeks because of rabies. And they put up that yellow sign on his house that he's under quarantine and he's not allowed to leave. Their ship that they've saved for leaves in a week. They're quarantined for 2. They are not going to make the trip. And the daddy was so upset that he cried. This big, burly, tough daddy cried before his family. And he even was so frustrated that he began to curse. And he stomped his foot and he even blamed his little son. "Why would you be playing with a dog that you don't know 1 week before we're supposed to leave?" And he's mad at the boy. And he's mad at God. And in the quarantine, their ship sailed away. And just a few days later, on April 15th, they got word back that the ship they were sailing on, the Titanic, was sunk. And 1,500 passengers drowned in those icy cold waters. And the entire attitude of that daddy was transformed. Thank God I was told no. That little boy he was mad at, he began to love on and caress and began to say, "Son, I'm so thankful you took one for the team. Thank you for playing with that dog. Thank you for getting bit. Thank you for delaying our trip. Had it not been for you and for the will of God, we would be drowned, no doubt." Thank God that he says no to us. And thank God that the Clark family in Scotland could look and see in God's no, there is a yes. And that yes was a tremendous blessing. Now it may very well be that tonight, you've been praying and you've been told no. And the devil has launched an attack to assault you and to defeat you and discourage you. And man, it's all you can do just to come to prayer meeting. And I'm talking to somebody. You're at home tonight because you're upset, bitter, frustrated that God did not answer your prayers the way you thought he would. But honey, I've got good news for you. If God has told you no, he has a greater yes coming right down the highway. It's on its way. The will and the purpose and the plan and the pleasure of Almighty God is to help you and to encourage you and to bless you. So thank God for the times I've been told no. You may say, "Well, Preacher Darren, I thank God for unanswered prayer." Oh, honey, it wasn't unanswered. It was answered. He said no. I just don't always like to hear it. Would you stand to your feet tonight? You're here, maybe there's somebody. You might slip up your hand and say, Pastor Darren, I tell you, your head's bowed, nobody's looking. Pastor Darren, I want you to pray for me because I get so discouraged. You slip up your hand, somebody's already come to the altar. Feel like you need to move, move. You want to put up your hand, we'll pray for you, however you feel led to go to do tonight. I want to pray for you that you would see the yes in God's no, that you would be encouraged, that you would be thrilled by God's no, because He has something greater. Just come to us and say, Lord, I know you told me no, but God, I just want to tell you, I believe you, that you have something greater. You have a greater yes than this no that I've been defeated by. Folks are coming. God bless you. Anybody else need to raise your hand? We're going to pray for you tonight. Anybody? I want to pray for you. Won't you pray especially for our sister tonight, about her family. I want to pray especially about some folks that's got sickness. They've been praying for healing and it's not come yet. Maybe it's a delay. Maybe they're going to be a denial. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would give us a definite yes to the desires of our heart. But God, I can't see what you see. Lord, you see what's ahead. And Lord, I don't. And I thank you, Lord, that you sometimes give us a delay. And when it's the right time, you work it out. But then, God, these times that are no. Lord, I want to just tell you, forgive me. I want to ask you, beg you, forgive me for the times that I was hard-hearted and the times that I was discouraged and disappointed by the no that came into my life. I was frustrated. And God, I thank you for it now because I've learned and I'm still learning that, Lord, those no's turn into a grand yes somewhere down the road. And Father, I pray tonight, God, there are folks on their knees and we're thanking you that you've told us no. And we're thanking you for the greater yes you brought into our life. Yea, Lord, there may be somebody tonight, God, right in the middle of this trial. And they don't understand it. They're scratching their head. It's, what am I doing wrong? I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to pray right. I'm trying to confess my sins. It's the right thing to ask for. I'm trying to act in righteousness and behaving myself wisely. And I don't understand, God, why you say no. But Lord, help us to know that, God, if you say no, Father, to our petition, it's because you have a better yes with your provision. And God, I pray tonight you would do a work of encouragement and help in our lives. Touch us, Father. We give you glory and honor, for it's in Jesus' name we beg and ask. Amen and amen.